Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. It's time to labbridge. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio Backyard Labbridge. It's Wednesday, and it's time for us to get under our favorite tree and relax and get in the mood for some backyard labbridge. And we are not only getting in the mood, we're going to get some exercise this evening, because we're going to talk about a very energetic sport that's hot on the news right now. And I see that I have all my favorite fans on the board that are football fans. And if you are on my list, you'll know that we're talking about Jamaica's passion for football that has been going on for over 100 years. And I would like to ask my helper on the phone to open up his mic or to put up his hand so I can see he's ready, because this evening I'll need a real football fan to help me out here. So do I have a raised hand from my football fan? Here we go. I'm going to open up the mic to 718-37-9. And
yes. This is Lay in the Bronx.
Okay, Mr. Lay.
Yeah.
Do you have a football?
I'm a real football fan.
Oh,
and
well.
That's all I've been doing lately, watching World Cup. And,
all right.
Sometimes I even forget to get to eat.
I know what you mean.
Watching the games.
You know, actually, I must tell the fans, I welcome everybody on the board and those listening online. You're listening to Backyard Labbridge. We're here each week where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich culture of Jamaica, land we love. We're a bunch of seniors that get together. Well, most of my fans are, not everyone. And we are talking about the Jamaica we knew before we migrated to, you know, here in the United States. I know I have fans all over, and some have migrated all over, and I see different numbers on the board tonight. However, I am broadcasting from my grandchildren's house tonight, so if you hear a little pitter-patter of feet in the background, please bear with me.
They're playing.
Yeah, but when I came and told them that my show was going to be about football, they thought I meant the American kind of football. And I had to explain to them that, no, the football I'm talking about, you kick it with your feet, and it's what we call football. And I don't know if it's still being called football in Jamaica. So, Leigh, that would be my first question that I want to ask.
It is called football everywhere else in the world except America.
Well, I can see why.
Yeah, so when like, if I'm in the elevator, which I have recently, and I asked whoever is in the elevator, are you going up to watch the football? They all look at me as if I'm crazy, because this is not the football season that they know.
Right. I know what you mean. Yeah. Well, what I'd like to do, if I may, is to give our listeners a little history about the football itself, not necessarily, well, the one we play and what most of the rest of the world play. And I'm going to be reading some of the information from Pieces of the Past and Dr. Rebecca Tortella's, I think, helped to write these articles. Anyway, it mentions here football, the beginnings. Many sources point to evidence of a game involving members of the Chinese military during the Han Dynasty, kicking a ball from as early as 3,000 years ago. I won 3,000? A similar game is said to have been played in Japan around 1004 BC. And interestingly, 3rd century Chinese show women playing a game involving kicking a ball. The Greeks and ancient Romans are also said to have played a type of game involving kicking a ball. Now, the North American Indians are said to have played a game called, and it has an Indian name, I won't even bother to pronounce it. And so a lot of people way, way, way back have been intrigued with kicking a ball. I haven't had any history on the type of football that the Americans play because I haven't researched it. But I wonder where that was started. Leigh, do you have any history on that?
Not really. I look back in history of the history of football, and you go back pretty far back in English history, and before they actually went to football, they used to play a game that was similar to football, but you could handle the ball.
Oh,
and that was the beginnings of what they called rugby, which is very similar. And then in Australia, they also have a similar type game, and you also handle the ball. So I think those were precursors of...
Right. Ball. But I found some information about the English football. It says here, England is home to amongst others, the world's oldest association football club, which is the Sheffield FC. It's the oldest national governing body of football. But actually, the first set of rules for the code of football was established in 1863.
Yeah.
Which was a major influence on the development of the modern laws of the game. With over 40,000 associations, football clubs, England has more clubs involved in the code than any other country.
Yeah.
So actually, what I'm understanding here, that sort of the rules that govern the game were actually put together in England.
Yes,
you know,
and what we were saying about the football and rugby are actually together back in 1863, but in 1869 they went their separate ways.
Right, and I think that that's when it sort of started to spread about, because it said Jamaica's first football club is said to have been formed in 1893, and it remained largely a club sport for half a century before evolving into a community-based sport. Now, according to the Jamaica Football Federation, the Kingston Cricket Club was one of the first to introduce football, although many members quickly became zealous of the new game's popularity. The first recorded organized competition took place in 1906 when former governors Sir Cyril Oliver and Sir William Manning donated trophies to be won by schoolboy teams. I thought that was an interesting piece of history about how it started in Jamaica.
Yes, well, that served the basis for almost, as we would call it, schoolboy football. Was the thing, you know, before you had organized clubs. And this governor, Sir Sidney Oliver, along with William Manning, donated the trophies that started the Manning
the competitions.
Right, as we know it.
Right. I got how that's how the Manning Cup came to into being.
Yeah.
So, but listen, now football is truly the world sport. It is played in every nation on earth by more than 300 million people. It is the number one sport in the majority of countries. And it also attracts the largest number of spectators. Football is also a major global industry, complete with million-dollar player contracts, lucrative merchandising, and high-earning teams. So here's my question, Leigh. Is the United States the only one that plays the kind of football that they play here? Or is it played in other parts of the world?
If they do, I don't know of it. I think they even call it American football.
Right.
And that's unique to America.
Ah, I thought so, because I tried to find some other, articles about how theirs originated, and I really haven't so far. But it just struck me as I came in, you know, and I have my seven-year-old. When I told him I was talking about football, he's the first thing he said to me, "We're not playing. I'm not playing football now, Nana."
Yeah.
So they only think of the football, the American football, I suppose.
When you're talking to an American audience, you have to differentiate and say soccer.
All right. Well, I bet we'll have to set the record straight tonight that we're talking about soccer, which is apparently called football all over the rest of the world, including Jamaica. And since this is a Jamaican show, we will be referring to it as football. But we're really talking about the American soccer. Now, are the rules here for soccer the same as they are in the English game?
Yes. Well, they have universal rules, and it's guided by they have FIFA is the federation for football around the world. And the FIFA rules are the rules that govern world football.
Right.
Basically, the rules are the same.
I got you. Now, this article said here, regardless of where football began, Britain is where modern association football is said to have truly been born. It most likely started as a game of war played to celebrate victories and has been a popular sport of the British masses since the 8th century. In the Middle Ages, villages and towns played against each other. Hundreds of spectators turned out to watch what is best described as mob football, given the large number of players. Now, the lack of rules then, and they're talking about then, and regulations and the high incidence of violence, the game could last all day. In the 1820s, football somehow became as popular in England, college and universities, as it was on the streets. And the roots of the organized games we know today emerged. A set of strict rules, including the length of time number of players, size of pitch, disciplinary action, etc., were adopted. Now, what does it mean by size of pitch?
Well, the football field is what we're talking about.
Oh, I see.
And
I got you.
When soccer started to take off in the U.S., the field, the pitch, the field was a little. There were slight variations. Some of the fields and pitches were smaller than we would know the pitch to be in other countries.
I got you.
I think by this time, though, they have conformed to the regulation size only because they're playing international football.
I got it. Now, you know, what's interesting, I read another article that said one of the reasons why the game is so popular all over the world is if you think about it, all you need is a space to establish the goal line. And
yep.
It could be just a line drawn on the ground. You think of in remote countries, right, when they don't actually have a net. They can do it between two trees. They can establish the goal between two trees. They can draw a line on in the sand. You know what I mean? They can create the game. It's so simple.
Well,
that it makes it very appealing.
Yeah, this is what distinguishes it from most other sports in that in some countries you don't even need a ball. I can remember guys, you know, even in Jamaica would be kicking a tin can.
Oh, I got you. I was wondering if they don't have a ball, what the hell they're kicking.
I
see what you mean.
Not to be funny, but you don't really need all this expensive, heavy equipment.
Gear and all of that. Mm-hmm.
Your children don't need to, the parents don't need this heavy investment for the gear. So this is why you will find, even in Africa, and some of the more primitive countries, soccer, football is a big sport.
Right. So it's a more popular world sport than the American football, I think, you know,
oh, yeah.
Internationally.
Right.
And you can imagine how uncomfortable it would be playing in, like, Africa in the so-called American gear for football.
Oh, yes.
It just wouldn't work.
No.
I mean, you know, health-wise in terms of the heat.
It's a totally different game.
Right. So I thought it was very interesting and that the listeners might find it interesting to hear a little bit about, you know, how it originated and one of the reasons why it's so popular. Because I never thought, you know, you don't think about these little things when you're enjoying the game. And I am just fascinated when I find all this new information. At least it's new to me. But let me just go on by telling our listeners a little bit more about how it evolved in Jamaica. And I'm sure, Lay, that you're going to talk about some of the competitive teams that we had when we were growing up as teenagers and how much fun all of that was.
Well, you know, it's what I said before. The way the sport evolved in Jamaica was as a schoolboy sport. And
mm-hmm.
The main schools, I just happened to look back in history a little bit. And between, let's say, 1915 and
mm-hmm.
1955, that's about when I left the scene, and shortly after the post-war period, the the colleges in Jamaica, meaning Jamaica College, Wilma's Boys School, St. George's College.
KC.
Pardon?
Kingston College?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay, sorry.
These were the prime movers of football in Jamaica. Even Calabar was one of the earlier participants.
Oh.
And Jamaica College, in that time period, and St. George's College, each had 13 championships to their in their arsenal. Wilma's,
really?
Yes, Wilma's came in third with 8 championships over that time period.
And that is playing for the Manning Cup?
Playing for the Manning Cup. And I should explain that each year, but there were a few years when there was no competition, either because maybe there was, I think 1944 was a war year, so there was no competition. Or there might have been a hurricane that year, and they canceled the, one reason or another. So, but the Manning Cup was primarily for the colleges in the corporate area, meaning that Jamaica College, Wilma's, and St. George's, Calabar, and a little later on Excelsior would participate in this. And after that now comes Kingston College from about 1949.
I got you.
And the thing is that the rural colleges had a different competition. And they competed not for the Manning Cup, but the Da Costa Cup.
Ah.
And whoever won their respective series, you know, the Manning Cup series or the Da Costa Cup series.
Play each other?
That's exactly right.
Ah.
They would
so what
play,
do they play for then? Do they have another cup?
The Oliver Shield. This is where that
Ooh.
Other William
oh,
Oliver.
Oh, yeah, Sir was Sidney Oliver. I got you.
Right. That's how it came together.
Right.
Now, what evolved after all of this is that the schoolboy competition was so exciting and so advanced in the football theory and organization that the players that emerged from these schools, colleges, would go on to make football their careers.
Oh, and of course they would travel.
Exactly.
I got
so,
you.
You know, you find that the Jamaican player that excelled in school would probably go to England or some other location to try to compete as a professional.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just share this. Jamaica's first international appearance occurred in 1925 when a national team was selected from the corporate area teams and they played against Haiti. Jamaica won all 3 games, of course. The following year, Jamaica hosted Haiti at Sabina Park and won again. Now, between 1925 and 1962, Jamaica played regularly with teams from Haiti, Cuba, and Trinidad and Tobago, as well as the Argentina Tigers and the British Carthaginians. Many of the games were played at Sabina Park, and many clubs were established, including Melbourne, Kingston, Kensington, Lucas, and St. George's Old Boys.
Yeah.
Will you want to tell the rest of the world that you're George's old boy, sir?
Yes, well, you know, George's Old Boys was a club just like Lucas, as you mentioned, Kensington, Melbourne, and the Kingston Club, as you mentioned earlier, was, if you might want to call it, the elite club, because it was a membership club and very, I wouldn't want to say, there were a lot of non-players in that club, and it was a throwback from the English types who ran things, because don't forget, this was Jamaica then was a colony, a
right.
British colony, and they were used to having their clubs where they could have tea and have a whiskey, and least of all they did was have tea during cricket and watch football games, but not necessarily, they
play.
Didn't necessarily play.
Mm-hmm.
As the other clubs, such as Melbourne and Kensington and Lucas, were playing clubs, and there were, if you want to say, a little less elite,
mm-hmm.
but no less competitive.
Oh.
Yeah, and out of these clubs were, you had very, very good footballers like Arthur McKenzie and Claude McMorris. Those are George's footballers. But you also had Leslie Alcock. Anybody that you know, followed football in those times wouldn't recognize those names.
Right.
And Bobby Williams, who was a schoolmate of mine, his son played on the that famous Rega Boys team.
Mm.
So,
now,
go ahead.
Now, according to Dr. Jerry Alexander, who's one of the writers for the Pieces of the Past, I think, football was a sport, and sport was a pastime. We were all amateurs. They did not receive a salary, but instead, as Alexander explained, they played for the love of the sport and the honor of representing Jamaica. Now, he's talking about a collection of them that went on to play. It was a Caribbean All-Star team that was formed in 1952 with players from Trinidad, Cuba, Haiti, and Suriname, as well as noted Jamaican footballers, Lindy Delapeno, who went on to be the first black player in the English Premier League, where he played for over 20 years.
Know him very well, yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And Gilly Heron, who
right.
played in Scotland.
Yeah.
This was the beginning of professional football and organized publicity for the game, and the interest it generated reflected in an increased number of spectators attending club games. Other popular players during this period included Arthur McKenzie, Claude McMorris, Lester Alcock, and Bobby Williams. You're familiar with any of those?
All of them, yes.
Wow.
The one you didn't mention was John Barnes,
mm-hmm.
who was even a bigger star in the time period that Lindy Delapena played. But, of course, Delapena played for a premier club in England, so
uh-huh.
he was a lot more famous, I think.
He got more press.
Yes.
I see. Now, it says here that in 1962, the year of the island's independence, the Jamaica Football Association was formed. And that's after your time.
Yeah.
and it signaled a complete reorganization of the game. Each parish was to form its own association under the auspices of the original one. The national team was to be taken seriously. Prior to this, players were required to furnish their own shorts and boots.
Oh, yeah.
In addition, until 1960, football had been mainly a Kingston game. Development of the game island-wide was promoted by the Social Development Commission under the Ministry of Development and Welfare, Mr. Edward Ciago. Groups were brought into Kingston from rural areas to learn the game, and regular matches were then encouraged to be played within and between towns. I suppose this is after, during our time, it was mostly played by the high schools, which were not public schools at the time. You know, we have visitors who come by and listen to the show afterwards that might not be Jamaicans and familiar with how things were ran in our time, Leigh. So I just thought it was, important to explain that. So what they're talking about here, about the turning point, is after independence, when the schools were made public, or they were, just...
Government-sponsored.
Right, government-sponsored or run. But in the days where you were mentioning all that, players, it was not so. These were private institutions that mostly the and we had boys' schools that were separate from girls' schools.
Right.
You want to tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Well, it probably comes under social integration,
mm-hmm.
and it private schools in those days could do what they want. They just didn't, it wasn't co-ed. You would have boys' schools. For instance, I think Wilma's, I mentioned before, Wilma's boys' school was outstanding in soccer, football. And then they also had the girls' school.
Mm-hmm.
And they played hockey, you know,
right.
or other girl-type sports. In those days, they didn't have girls playing soccer.
You mean football?
Football. Same
right. Okay, I see a hand from one of our listeners at 631-451. I'm going to open up the mic. Good evening. This is Margaret in the backyard. Who do I have?
Hi, Margaret. This is Janine from Long Island.
Hi, Janine. Good evening.
Good evening. How are
you? Welcome to the Labrish.
Yes, yes. I just wanted to say we had football players that represented Jamaica that wasn't from the school, you know, and they had quite a few of them. You had Sidney Bartlett, who played inside left. You had Selwyn Murphy, who was number one goalkeeper. You had Henry Larkey, which was left, I wrote this down, left, right. You had Carl Larkey. He was center, half. You had Marston Chin. He was right half. Owen Barker. He was outside left. Denzel Liu, inside right. Noel Tappin, center forward. And you had Bobby Williams, who played outside left, Teddy Sanders, and he was a goalkeeper. And you had Anthony Hill inside right. And, the list, and also a lot of people may not remember, but there was a year when we had a West Indies football team when players were selected from different Caribbean islands. And Jamaica had three players in this West Indies team, and it was, and the names were Sidney Bartlett, Swan Parker, and Anthony Hill. And they were the three that were selected when they made that selection. So we had a lot of Jamaican football players that represented us that really wasn't school soccer.
Well, they were products of school. Half of the guys you mentioned
started out in school.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I got you. But you meant after they left school, they were selected. Is that what you meant?
Yeah, they represented Jamaica for
on a Caribbean team.
Right.
I got you. But in what I think Leigh, what we were trying to say is that most in those days, most of the players came from the boys' schools.
Yes.
Yes. They started out. Yes.
The thing about it is, like Alexander said, this Dr. Alexander, that you played football in those days for the love of the sport,
right?
Because it wasn't sponsored by anybody, and you had to pay your way through.
Right. It's a good thing you didn't need a lot of gear. So there was not a lot of expense involved, right?
True.
Well, you know, I started to laugh this morning when I thought about those years. You had one ball, and I can remember sometimes you're playing a game and the ball gets kicked outside of the field, outside of the pitch. And you hear somebody yell, "Ball lost." the game is held up until the ball is found.
Found. I got you, because you're not a replacement ball.
Exactly right. Now, the ball is over the touch line, and somebody throws another ball in to keep the game going.
Yeah, that's right. Well, there's a note here that says in the 60s to 70s, it saw an increasing number of professionals, another shift in the level of the game. One such professional was Alan Skill, in parenthesis, Cole. I mean, apparently Skill is the name they gave him, you know, because he was such a good player. Are you familiar with Alan Cole?
I don't know him.
One of Santos, S-A-N-T-O-S, most famed player and a 1970s cult hero who many regard as, listen to this, the greatest footballer Jamaica has produced. Cole became the youngest player to represent Jamaica at the national level. He was selected at age 16 while still playing De Costa Cup football for his alma mater, Veer Technical. This is after your time, Leigh. He also played for the Atlanta's chief in the North American Soccer League in 1968 and became the only Jamaican footballer to play in the Brazilian First Division when he signed with Nautico, N-A-U-T-I-C-O, in 1971. So he is in the history books, this Alan Skill Cole, as Jamaica's greatest football player.
Wow.
So we all learned something tonight. Now, do you know where the World First Cup was held, Leigh?
The World Cup? The first World Cup, no, I am not sure of that.
It was in 1930 in Uruguay.
Oh,
in 1930, a country that had won Olympic medals in the sport in 1924 and 1928. Only 13 countries sent teams, and there were no qualifying matches. Uruguay emerged victorious, defeating Argentina in the finals. We're talking 1930 now, before my time.
And mine.
It wasn't until 1965, 35 years later, that Jamaica attempted to play at the World Club level. Under the leadership of a Brazilian coach, Jamaica tried to qualify for the 1966 World Cup finals in England. But I suppose they didn't. It didn't say that they did here. Now, the first group included Cuba and the Netherlands when they play, when they're talking about that World Cup. But did we have any representation this year in South Africa?
No, because we didn't qualify.
Oh, I see. So
think about World Cup. As soon as this World Cup is finished, they start qualifying rounds.
Ah.
Countries are playing different countries. In 4 years' time, by the process of elimination, you'll have the countries that are going to be represented in the World Cup. So that's what's happening now.
Right.
And Jamaica did not qualify. They were knocked out earlier on.
I see. Now, it has been proven to be the pattern since starting to play international. Jamaica was generally successful in its own home games. But when they're away is a different story. That's what the article says here. So somehow we need to be eating the yam. You know, when we're away and we don't have the yams, we don't seem to do as good. That is a joke.
Well, I laugh.
You know, because it distinctly say here, when we're at home, we can wipe them out. But as soon as we're away on some other place, it don't seem to work
soil.
As well.
Could be the soil.
Right.
Well,
or the water. We have to blame it on something.
There are a lot of factors involved, you know. If, for instance, we have sent teams to Mexico for one reason or another. It's not easy to participate in sports in Mexico because the rareness of the air in some locations.
That's true.
So for teams to be successful, they need to get into the environment. They're going to play for a little bit and practice there. And they may not be able to afford that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we didn't qualify in 78. In 82, there was no attempt. But let's talk about 1998.
Well, 1986, they couldn't afford the affiliation fees.
Oh.
Now, there's a lot of things involved here with organized soccer that, and the government don't necessarily put up any money for the team.
Uh-huh.
And also the whatever federation they have locally, they probably have to come up with the money to
registration.
The fees to pay the dues to FIFA to begin with.
Okay.
So go ahead, yeah, you're up to 1998. 1990. Well, 1990, they were in competition, but they failed to qualify.
Qualify, yeah. Mm-hmm.
1994, same thing. But here is where you come in, 1998.
Right.
The Regga Boys were established.
All right.
And for the first time, Jamaica, I mean, they made it to the next round, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they won their round and moved on to the second round. And of course, this was in France, and we were able to afford a Brazilian coach in those days, not a coach, but a Brazilian soccer specialist. Rene Simones was very popular at the time, and the coach was Carl Brown.
Uh-huh.
And Jamaica, they became known as the Reggae Boys.
Oh.
And the rest is history.
It's history. I see. I see. Now, you might hear little voices in the background. My two grandsons have joined me, and I'm trying to keep them quiet. Anyway, I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Lavish on Blog Talk Radio. We're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock. And on the Lavish, we're here to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And although we're not there, we're perhaps not going to be retiring there, we still love our culture, and we want to leave a lasting legacy of things that we were familiar with, meaning people of our time, and most of the fans that are listen to the show and come by are Jamaicans or people who love Jamaica or want to know about the culture, and we're mostly before independence. So most of what we discuss is to try to fill in some information from people who lived on the island and have some experience with what the culture was like during that period. So we hope that our listeners will enjoy our show and will come back often and will tell their friends that if they want to hear about Jamaican culture before independence from real people who lived it, to just take a look at backyardlavish.com or Google Backyard Lavish on you will get to Blog Talk Radio and hear some interesting information about the way things were, and not only our time, but what we try to do is to even find out some things before our time that we might not have known before. So I want to thank all the listeners on the board and those listening online. And if you want to call in and interact with me if you are online, please dial 1-718-766-4558. And we ask you to join the Lavish by hitting 1 on your telephone. We'll open up the mic because the Lavish is a conversation, and you're welcome to join in. So back to you, Lee. What do you know about the Reggae Boys? Are they still a group that is playing together, or what? What's going on with them now?
Well, you know, the Reggae Boys is not just a frivolous name. It's developed into like a
culture.
A club.
Mm.
And it's for the World Cup. It finances the Reggae Boys to go to the World Cup. So it's a nice, colorful name, but it's also like a franchise.
Mm.
Much like if you were in England, you'd find that the Premiership, the leading teams have franchises, and the Jamaicans play for the franchises in England. Some of them were stars on the Reggae Boys teams. Others were, you know, they developed their skills from colleges here. You know, it's a strange thing about America and football, soccer. Most of the leading colleges have a soccer program.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize this.
Yeah.
And in recent years, you hear about the soccer moms.
You're
talking
about
here.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But what led me into this was the fact that you have a lot of Jamaican youngsters that on their own they came to the U.S. and go to colleges. Some didn't go to college here, but they played soccer well in Jamaica, well enough to try to get, and some did get scholarships to universities here.
Mm.
But what I'm saying is that the soccer is very popular in, I know, all through the Ivy League.
Yes.
When my contemporaries were in school, I sometimes didn't know who to root for because, like Yale was playing Princeton,
right,
or like that, you know, and
uh-huh.
We're going to those schools.
My nephew played for Columbia University.
There you go.
Soccer here, yeah. And he won 2 state championships, you know.
Oh.
He was also on the New York State Olympic Development. He played internationally, you know. And he also played for Sachem High School. He started out in Sachem High School, and then he went to Columbia.
Yeah.
And he played for them.
Great. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yes.
He also won a gold medal.
Wow.
At the New York Empire State Game. Yeah.
Mm.
So you have some children here from Jamaican parents that, you know, they have that talent too, which is soccer.
Right. Yeah. Jamaicans,
yeah.
Yeah. This is just a little trivia. Do you know they're playing the games now at Independence Park, which, of course, I'm not familiar with. Leigh, are you familiar with Independence Park?
No. Where is that located?
In Kingston. It's located in Kingston, and it's a stadium that opened in 1962, and it holds 35,000 people. But
yeah,
listen
well,
to...
I know of the stadium, and I've been there, but not for an athletic event.
Where is that? I didn't hear that. What?
It's the Independence Park.
Okay.
It doesn't tell me here where it is. It is in Kingston. I mean, what area of Kingston
it's
it
like,
is.
And it's like behind Calabar. You know where Calabar is?
Don't remember.
By Mountain View area.
Yes. The stadium is right there. You're right. Mm-hmm.
The Independence Park is locally called the Office, which is located in Kingston. The stadium opened in 1962 and holds 35,000 people. It got its name, the Office, from their 50-match unbeaten run from 1995 to 2001. They had 50 matches played there. And who was unbeaten, I suppose, must have been the Kingston team.
I don't know.
It doesn't say here. It just said that's how, you know, it's so customary in Jamaica to put a name on something because of something.
Yeah.
I think that's why this star, the best Jamaican football star, is called Skill Cole, because he's so skillful with his foot. I suppose, you know, how he is able to control the ball. That's why. So now they're calling the Independence Hall, that stadium, the Office, because it has this undefeated record between 1995 and 2001. So I suppose it's every game that was played there that the Kingston team must have won, or the home team won. 50 matches, ain't that something? That's a lot of matches to win.
Yeah.
So I know that all the football fans might have their own story. And I would like, if anyone is on the board that would like to join the Labrish, just let us know. We have a couple more minutes before we sign off. But I remember that as a teenager, you know, the football that the boys were playing were always so attractive to the girls because, you know, we're there at the match, seeing all the guys running over the field. You know, we can check out the legs.
Yeah, but you also have girls that are playing soccer now. I also have a niece that played soccer.
Right. And in Jamaica, too, you have girls playing football. They mention here that we have a girls' team in Jamaica, you know.
That's very recent.
Beg your pardon?
That must be recent.
Yes, yes, quite recent. You know, a lot of things have changed since the schools have changed.
Yes, yes.
But it mentions here that they have a girls' team, a women's team in Jamaica.
Yes.
So I don't know at what level they're playing, but there's a mention of it here. It's interesting, Leigh, because were you familiar with Veer Technical before you left? Because that is where this Alan Cole came out of.
Yeah, I don't know much about Veer, but I certainly know the name of Veer Technical. The thing is that remember we mentioned that the country schools had a different league from the
Kingston schools. I see what you mean. Yeah.
And so people may be popular in that other league, and we don't really know about them until, of course, if they emerge at championships. You say, boy, that guy is good.
Right.
And then the other thing is in those times that we were talking about, the communication was not what it is today.
Today, yeah.
And, you know, a guy never got plastered all over the newspapers, just so.
Right. And you don't have to wait for the newspapers now. It's just plastered over the Internet.
Right.
You know, it's instant coverage any part of the world that anyone has a phone that can stream it right on YouTube or, you know, wherever. But this Alan Cole was during the 60s and 70s. So with that said, we have used up our hour already. Can you imagine that? We have 3 minutes left. And as usual, I want to thank all our listeners that are coming by and telling their friends, because our numbers are increasing. We're getting quite a number of hits during the week. And I know people, I want to remind our listeners on the board and online that your friends don't have to be online with us, on the phone with us on a Wednesday. You can go by any time and listen to any of our shows that are archived, including this one. You can send the link once you listen to the show. If you download the show, you just copy the URL and you can send it to anyone you think may have an interest in that particular subject. And boy, have we covered a lot of subjects. We have covered the parishes and the fruits and just all sorts of interesting things. And I want to tell our listeners and the people who send me email how much I appreciate their support. And I'm just having the time of my life just learning all these things that I didn't seem to have time for before. And, of course, we didn't have access to the information as freely as we have it now. So I can assure you that next year we'll be having another interesting topic to enlighten and you about and to celebrate and record. So that's the whole purpose of our Labrish, is to have a living legacy left when we're out of here, so that the next generation can hear a little bit about what we thought, what we know, and what we discovered. So with that said, Leigh, my loyal fan from the Bronx, home of the Yankees.
Well, I just want to say that this football thing here was a real throwback to my school days, which were happy school days. And the greatest times that I had at school was...
You want to tell the period to our listeners so they can have a feel for when you're talking about?
That would be probably 1945, 46 to 52, thereabouts.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But, right. You know, those were great days.
And
But I guess everybody in his own period would say that his football days were the greatest period. But I tell you that the football that we the boys played in those days was really good football.
Yep. I know I was a fan. My husband played outside left, so, I was there at all the matches, and it was really quite inspiring.
Yep.
So, Miss Janine?
Yes?
Do you have some parting words for cyberspace?
Well, yes, it's good again to hear all the different things that we are involved in. And I just want to give a shout-out to my nephew, Craig Smart. He's the one that did the soccer here with the different school and with the International
Great.
Olympic. And he followed in his father's footsteps because he played soccer at school.
Here or in Jamaica?
In Jamaica. My brother played in Jamaica, but he played here.
What school did your brother play for?
My brother played for St. George's.
Ah.
Yes.
So he's a George's old boy.
Boy, yes. And I have another brother that went to Gamestead, and he played for school too. For
wow.
his school. He was very, as a matter of fact, he was very good at it too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I tried it when growing up, my brother and myself, of course, in the backyard, not professionally. And as they said, we would use the pan to kick.
Right. That's the beauty of football, of the football that we play, because you don't really, it's simple to understand. You don't have a lot of, you don't need a lot of gear, and it's fairly safe, because you're not really pouncing on each other intentionally, as they do in the football here. The objective is to disengage your opponent physically.
Right.
So I always wonder how that came to be called football, because it seemed to me it's more like it would be suited for soccer, because they're actually socking it to the other player. To the opponent, as opposed to being skillful with the foot, and a ball.
I guess exactly, the foot and the ball.
Ball, which is the name of the game.
Right, right.
But be that as it may, it's both of the games are quite interesting because my sons were born here, they didn't play football, but of course they were football fans.
Yeah.
And of course they're grown men now with children. So I've had the pleasure of both.
Yes.
But I still have a little difficulty considering the football as football. I mean, the American football, to me, that should be called soccer.
Yeah.
And the other way around.
Completely different.
Yeah, definitely. And there's so much of it that I don't understand.
Yes.
But anyway, I want to thank our listeners again for being with us and to have them ask them to be advertisement for us to tell some other people to come by to the backyard, because we love to have lots of company. And we want to encourage our listeners to engage in the conversation, because that's what a labrish is for. And I would love to have ideas of what you'd like us to labrish about. So do send me an email or, put up your hand and make a suggestion. So with that said, I want to thank everyone again and to say I'll see you next week. So,
same place.
You're right.
Night.
Make it a great week.
Good night.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.